This is a Sports Radio 740 podcast on SportsRadio740.com.
The best prices ever. Yep, it's at Marguerite's Exquisite Jewelry.
It is that simple. Hey, we continue our tour around the SEC. We're checking in with all of the schools during preseason drills. And now it's time to talk a little Commodore football with our man Chris Lee of VandySports.com. Chris, good morning, sir. How are you today?
I'm great. Good morning to you guys.
Great to have you with us, as always. We look forward to your visit because you're always speak truth to us here about Vanderbilt. Give us some truth. What's the overall prognostication? Where do you figure Vanderbilt settles in record-wise in 2017 after going 6-7 last year?
Vegas has got the over-under. It wins on them at 6. I think that is about right. I might go 7. In fact, as I've watched them practice, I've been pretty impressed with what I've seen, and there's still some things that I have concerns about with them. I think this team is potentially as good as a couple of the teams that, James Franklin fielded. Of course, those teams won 9 games, finished in the top 25. But let's also be honest at the same time, James scheduled wisely. He scheduled at least 3 built-in wins into that non-conference schedule that they had almost no chance of losing, sometimes 4. And, you know, that's what people look at. People look at the numbers, especially the number to the right of the dash and the win-loss record. And, you know, and maybe don't look at some of how they got there. And, look, I'm not in any way, shape, or form trying to knock what James Franklin did. It was a miracle. I mean, it literally was, because that program went 2-10 before he got there. But I think Derek is really, much to my surprise, if you had asked me 2 years ago, what are the chances of him getting – this program to where it is now, and I say that's perception. They need to do a little bit more. I would have probably given you a less than 10% chance 2 years ago that he had this program and what I perceive to be in as good a shape it is now. I just think that schedule, I've said this all year on talk shows, I think there is one game in Alabama that they're just not going to win for sure. I think there's one game in Alabama A&M that they will win for sure. And I think those other 10 games, and you look at how they played some of these teams last year, I don't think there's a sure win on there, and I think that's the problem.
The first two games, the first one in particular, Middle Tennessee, that is a game that has caused Vandy some trouble in years past. This one is in Murfreesboro. What about starting with a team like Middle Tennessee?
Who has won before against Vanderbilt?
Yeah, and I think the line on this is maybe 6, 6.5. Honestly, I think, look, this is not an easy game. If Vanderbilt could lose it, like I said, there's really only 2 games on the schedule that I think are decided before they're played. But I think, my opinion is, I think this is the easiest matchup of the other 10. I saw Middle last year, and they've changed defensive coordinators, and maybe that helps. I just was not really impressed with their level of athleticism in tackling on defense. Now, offensively, they're really good. They're a handful. They're going to put up some points on Vanderbilt, and they moved the ball last year. I do not think the difference in the two teams was as dramatic as the score was last year. There were some short field positions in there. I think Vanderbilt had a turnover edge, a plus one that had a factor in there. But I just don't – Middle could beat them. I don't want to say any two ways about it. I just think of the matchups on their schedule – this is one of the more favorable ones for them, because I think Vanderbilt will be able to move the ball and score points. And I just think the level of athleticism and ability on defense between those two teams is, I think the gap there is pretty big.
Then another one, that Kansas State deal. That's very interesting, coming to Nashville before they host Alabama. Let's name – here's my impression of the face of Vanderbilt football right now. Ralph Webb could be one of the best running backs in the history of the Southeastern Conference, especially if he, you know, closes it out with a really big year this year. Do you think so, Chris? I mean, the numbers bear it out, but do you think he belongs in that grouping?
I think he is a unique animal into himself because I watch him, and clearly he's not Herschel Walker or Bo Jackson or Darren McFadden. He's probably going to end the year as either the second or third all-time leading rusher in the history of the Southeastern Conference, which, you know, obviously they play more games now. Bowl game stats count, which I don't know that that was always the case. He's not any of those guys. But at the same time, none of those guys probably had a worse supporting cast over their careers. I mean, let's face it, their offense, really until midseason last year, was dreadful. They were ranked dead last in the NCAA in total offense, I think through seven games, and then they flipped the switch and it totally changed. He's run behind one guy who received any honors as an offensive lineman, and that was Will Holden, who's with the Cardinals now. He was their left tackle. He was the second-team All-SEC guy. Ralph is a really hard one to peg in terms of where you put him because he doesn't have breakaway speed, yet he's been durable. They have not been able to pass the ball for most of his career, and their blocking has not been great. But here he is, and he's got a chance to – I mean, he has already broken the career rushing record at Vanderbilt, and he'll just be piling on this year. I think that he's obviously not one of those guys, but I think what he has done – has been so remarkable. I just look at him as a guy that's sort of in a category of his own because you look up and down that list, I don't think there's another guy that even remotely played under the same circumstances that he's played under.
You know, it's interesting. I've been speaking to some civic groups talking about this upcoming season, and I always hit them with this zinger. Who ranks second among active SEC running backs in yards rushing? And it's Ralph Webb at 33-42. That was the number that he had last year, and people just don't realize how good of an athlete he is, and certainly under some, you know, not as easy circumstances as maybe some of these other running backs in the league have.
Yeah, and look, he does things. He catches some passes. He played on some coverage teams. Last year, he was actually the guy that forced the fumble that got them to safety on a punt return and really, really changed that game. I think they're going to have to get him off the field more this year, and I think they have a couple guys behind him that are SEC-quality backs, which is a rarity at Vanderbilt to have three or four of those guys. I think that they've got to limit his touches because he did play hurt the second half. He was not the same guy. You look at the Kentucky game, I think where he hurt his ankle. He had a run of three or four games there where he was not very productive, really, again, until the end of the season when I think he got healthier. I think that's the key with Vanderbilt this year is you might sacrifice some of that piling up numbers to keep him healthy.
Chris Lee is with us, VandySports.com. Always like to ask you about a couple of players in specific who may not be, you know, top of the mind awareness. Got to ask you about, again, heading into his senior season, a guy from right here in Montgomery who has had quite a good career. C.J. Duncan, the senior wide receiver from here in the Montgomery area. What about him? How is his senior season going to shape up? What do you think?
I think he's had a really good camp from what I have heard. We don't get to see a lot of practice anymore. Vanderbilt's kind of become like the rest of the SEC in that regard. But I saw him catch a 40-yard pass right over the middle of the field for a score yesterday where he kind of got a little space behind a defender. I thought he was the star of their spring camp 2 years ago. I thought he was very good. They have found some other receivers like Trent Sherfield and Caleb Scott, Kalijah Lipscomb. I think they're as deep at receiver as they've been in a long time. And I think that's going to affect his production. But they're going to, in their offense this year, Derek Mason spent a lot of time with Bill Belichick in the offseason. And Derek told me personally, he said, look, what the Patriots do is they look for mismatches. And you guys know, especially if you play fantasy football, Patriots players are really frustrating to own because 1 week a guy gets 25 touches or 15 targets, and in the next week it's 20% of that. I think that their offense is going to be kind of like that this year. They're going to look to see who lines up on who. I think C.J. Duncan probably is going to end up having some big games for them some weeks. I think there'll be some weeks where maybe he doesn't do so much, but certainly he's one of the four guys in that receiver corps that they'll be counting on, and I think he is thankfully recovered from his injury and continued to get better.
Let me ask you about another wide receiver. It makes me feel old. And ask you about a couple of freshmen, just from what you've heard. Just give us something about them. One of them is a quarterback from just south of here. I'm very familiar. He's around my neck of the woods out of Brantley, Alabama. True freshman coming in named Jacob Free. I know he was a big signee for Vanderbilt. What do you think?
Yeah, I saw him in camp last year. He was really nervous, didn't perform well. But he's got arm strength. He's a decent athlete. I think that his recruiting gained some momentum as it got close to signing day, but he was going to stick with Vandy. I've not gotten to see him throw in camp so far. Again, our practice access has been limited.
Right.
He, I think, projects to start the season as their fourth quarterback. I think he's a kid that's got a lot of raw tools, but as you guys know, it takes 2 or 3 years for a kid to develop those skills and get used to the speed of SEC defenses, because it's not even close to what you saw in high school. I think he's a kid that's got a lot of the tools, and I think if we're having this conversation 2 or 3 years from now, I would think that Jacob Free would be right in the middle of the discussion.
You know, Chris, I know we touched on Kansas State earlier, but I think that's really an intriguing game for Vanderbilt. It's the third of the year in Nashville. Obviously, everybody knows about Bill Snyder and his success there with the Wildcats. But that, to me, after the Middle Tennessee and then the Alabama A&M game, you could be 2-0. To me, that's a huge game to kind of really get you going, because Alabama, Florida, Georgia, and Ole Miss are the next four. And Alabama, Florida, and Georgia, wow, those three right there. Winning against Kansas State, I think, could really be a momentum boost for this team going into that three-game stretch.
Oh, I agree totally. And this is probably not going to be a popular answer in SEC country, but I think after Alabama, that's the toughest team on their schedule. I don't think that's the game they're going to win, but boy, if they do, I think you have to start seriously considering Vanderbilt as a team that could still be in the discussion for the title in the East. I know that sounds crazy, but I think this is one of these years where whoever wins the East, it might be a three-way tie with 3-5-3 teams. And you look at these scores in the East last year between the teams and how close most of those games were and how random some of the outcomes were, you know, specifically Vandy beating Tennessee and Georgia. I think it is way more of a toss-up than the public perceives. I think that game, you guys help me understand this. When was the last time that Kansas State actually finished worse than whatever its preseason ranking was? I don't understand why we continue to underrate them year after year. I suspect it has to do with recruiting rankings, but that is a team that's got a really good offense. They've got a really good quarterback. I think Vanderbilt's really got its hands full in that one. And I think if Vanderbilt's able to win that game, you sure have to really, look, they can lose that game and still have a good season. But I think if that's the game that Vanderbilt wins, I think you're going to really have to take a look at Vanderbilt in a little bit of a different light, because I think Kansas State is a legitimate top 15 team.
I think that's a legitimate opinion. I agree with you there as well, Chris. Chris Lee, VandySports.com. Our fans have gotten comfortable with you and know the quality you bring to us on the airways. What about the website, Chris? How do people get involved with that?
Yeah, it's VandySports.com. It's part of the Rivals.com network, which I'm sure people down there know. They're welcome to check us out. We've got a podcast you can search. It's called the Vandy Sports Podcast. I'm doing that. Should launch the SEC podcast again soon. We have kind of taken the summer off, but that's the ultimate SEC show. We, of course, talk about all the 14 teams there, and that one's a lot of fun, too, when I have time to do it. But check us out at those places, please.
Oh, man, great stuff as always. Chris, we've always appreciated your time and your analysis. Look forward to touching base with you again. Won't be too long. Of course, Alabama coming up to Nashville in week 4, so I'm sure we'll get a preview of that matchup as it gets closer.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to that game, too. We don't get to see Alabama a lot. And, you know, love them or hate them, it's been quite the spectacle down there, because I think what Nick Saban is doing is historic. I mean, it's hard. There's two things, I think, in sports that make you great. One of them is winning championships consistently. And I think the most underrated thing in sports is kind of never having a down year and being consistent. You almost never see a program put together both of those at the same time. And, I mean, even look at Coach K at Duke in basketball. Yeah. He's had some down years. It is unbelievable to me that Nick Saban has been able to do what he has done. in both those regards. And I'm really looking forward to seeing Alabama when they're here, because I know that's a chance to see a lot of guys that I'll get to see again on Sundays.
Appreciate it, Chris. Thank you very much.
You better know it.
Chris Lee, VandySports.com. We'll touch base with him later on as the season gets closer. And he joined us via our dream.